Take your Bibles this morning. You turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I want to give the Lord praise, honor, and glory for many years ago prompting me to do my messages in manuscript. For in so doing, it left me a lot of notes. And they helped immensely when I was writing this book, A Bitter, Not Me. Knowing that this is going to be Father's Day, my wife, as she often does, she encouraged me, you know, we need to have a Father's Day message. And I said, well, yeah, all right. That's probably right. We ought to have a Father's Day message. And then I thought about the book. In chapter 7 in the book, that's a great Father's Day message. And I got to thinking, well, you know, they'll start reading the book. They'll get to chapter 1. They'll get to chapter 2, maybe 3. Whew, I don't know if I can take too much more of this. And they'll travel on to chapter 4 and 5, maybe even hit 6 and say, that's it. I can't do any more. And they'd miss out on chapter 7. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter towards them. A very, very important chapter. So it's going to be very easy for you this morning. You don't have to take any notes because I'm going to give you the notes later on in the book. All you're going to have to do is just sit there and listen to my harmonious voice. Read to you this chapter. Now, I timed it. It takes about 30 minutes. So you can just relax. Don't have to take any notes. Just put on your listening ears. Now, I know some of you don't learn well by just listening. You have to write and so forth. But that'll be all right because when you read the chapter. And by the way, there's no possible way you're going to read this book one time and get all that's in it. It's just filled with scriptures. Do you fully and truly understand all of the Word of God? No. We have to what? Go over it again. Maybe a second, third time before we see certain things. And I've written a little salutation to each of you men. And it'll involve either the thought of God enlightening your eyes as you read, or God giving you wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, to comprehend the words of the book. Well, it's my prayer this morning that the Spirit of God would be here and would truly illuminate us. That we'd not only hear these words, but I mean that they would sink deep down inside of us. And we would, perhaps maybe for the first time, really begin to understand Colossians chapter 3. I write, this book has been written to impress its readers that we're all more bitter than we realize. Has the book convinced you of this truth? Are you more bitter than you realize? What are you going to do about it? I write. Other than the cures for bitterness already mentioned in the book, let me leave you with a few more. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. The Apostle Paul concludes chapter 3, verses 18 through 25, and begins chapter 4, verse 1, stating God's primary roles for wives. Submit. For husbands, love. For children, obey. For fathers, provoke not. For servants, obey. And for masters, give. That's found in Colossians 3:18 through Colossians 4, verse 1. Very first purpose in this chapter says this. I purpose to strive to fulfill my God-given role. Is that too outlandish to ask you to just fulfill your God-given role? Well, having told them what to do, He now tells them how to do it. Look with me in Colossians 3. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. We need to remember, when we fulfill our roles, we are doing it as to the Lord. What's the purpose then? When fulfilling my role, I purpose to do it as to the Lord. He next explains why. Why are we to fulfill our roles? Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respecter of persons. Not only should we remember who we are serving, but also we need to remember why we are serving. We shall be judged according to how we fulfill our God-given roles. Purpose. When fulfilling my role, I purpose to remind myself God is going to judge me according to how I do it. Now, before we begin focusing our role on the husband to love his wife and be not bitter against her, I want to point out two other things about not fulfilling our roles. Pay attention. Number one, if you are not fulfilling your role, it may be because you're bitter at them. Number two, if others do not fulfill their role towards you, you may get bitter at them. Please understand, others indeed may get bitter towards us when we don't fulfill our God-given role towards them. For example, a husband can get bitter if a wife doesn't submit. A wife can get bitter if her husband doesn't show her love. A parent can get bitter if the child doesn't obey. A child can get bitter if a father provokes. Masters can get bitter if a servant doesn't obey, and a servant can get bitter if a master's not fair. Remember, a godly desire. I desire that you would fulfill your God-given role towards me. A godly desire can become a fleshly lust if we get angry, if we get bitter, when we don't get what we want. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Before we zero in on verse 18, I want to give you an overview of verses 1 through 17. If we will obey these verses, keeping our God-given roles can become much, much easier. Thus, we can keep from getting bitter at others, and we can keep others from getting bitter at us. Notice how the chapter begins by fanning our love towards the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Are we bitter at so-and-so, and therefore we don't fulfill our God-given role towards them? Are we bitter because others do not fulfill their God-given roles towards us? Are we bitter because our focus is earthly here and now and not heavenly the hereafter? When we are not fulfilling our role, and when others are not fulfilling their roles towards us, we need to ask ourselves this penetrating question. Lord, how can I seek and set my affections on things above? First, we ought to encourage ourselves that because we're in Christ, we will abide with him in heaven. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When God gave us the gifts of repentance and faith, and we believe Jesus as our Savior, our old man was crucified with Jesus that we might live with him. What a blessing. Our sin nature is no longer our master, but Jesus is. Therefore, we are to serve the Lord with our body and its members, and not our lust. Romans chapter 6. Purpose. Because by faith I am alive in Christ, I purpose to serve him by fulfilling my God-given role. Secondly, because we're in Christ, we are to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. Colossians 3:5. Mortify, therefore. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Listen to this list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, verse 9, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. We can demonstrate that we are seeking and setting our affections on things above by the fact that we are putting off the old man and also putting on the new man. Did you notice how many of them dealt with some form of bitterness? Put on the new man, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You see, when others are not fulfilling their God-given role towards you, to keep from getting bitter towards them, ask God how you can seek and set your affection on things above. Ask him what he wants you to put off and what he wants you to put on. When others are not ministering to you like God has commanded them, do you ever put off the old man and put on the new man? By demonstrating mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love towards them. Listen to these two purposes. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role and thus keep others from becoming bitter towards me, I purpose to put off the old man and put on the new man. But secondly, listen to this one. Because I want to keep from getting bitter when others don't fulfill their God-given role towards me, I purpose to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Finally, there's a couple of other things that we can do so we don't cause others to get bitter at us and so we don't get bitter at them. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Second, let. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do you think letting the peace of God rule in your heart and letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom will assist you in fulfilling your God-given roles and keep you from getting bitter when others fail to do so towards you? When you cease to fulfill your God-given role because you're bitter towards them, or you are bitter towards them because they're not fulfilling their God-given role towards you, know this. It's because you're no longer thankful. Verses 15 and verses 17. Letting the peace of God rule in your hearts and being thankful, they go hand in hand. And so does letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly and giving thanks. You show me someone with a bitter spirit, and I'll show you someone with an unthankful spirit. Your purpose. Because I don't want to cause others to become bitter by failing to perform my God-given role towards them, and because I don't want to become bitter when others fail to perform their God-given role towards me, I purpose to strive to be more thankful. Remember this. Whatever trying situation you find yourself in, God is always trying to refine your righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, just to name a few. So give thanks for what God is seeking to refine in your life. Now, having examined the context, let's now focus on the verse. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, why would husbands not love their wives and be bitter towards them? Well, from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we might answer that question by saying, well, it's because their affections are earthly, on self, and not on heavenly, our Savior. And then from Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, we might answer, well, it's because they need to put off and they need to put on. And then finally, we might answer using Colossians 3, 15 through 17 to say it's because they were no longer thankful. Each and every one of those can attribute to a husband no longer loving his wife and being bitter against her. But those three things flow from our primary sin, a lack of faith, and two secondary sins, pride and lust, Hebrews chapter 12. In chapter 1, we discovered that the lack of faith and pride and lust may cause us to faint, fight, and or flee. When suffering from a sinner or suffering for our own sin, a husband may stop loving and become bitter towards his wife when she causes him suffering because of her sin or causes him to suffer because of his sin. In the flesh, a husband may stop loving and become bitter towards her when she is sinning against him. Now, what might be some of the areas she might sin against him and cause him to suffer? Well, how about the way she talks to him? Her speech is full of sarcasm. Instead of building him up, she puts him down. In his thinking, she always has something negative to say. If she's not scolding him, she's screaming at him. Or how about what she does or doesn't do? She spends and spends and spends. She's lazy, won't cook, clean the house, take care of the kids. And the physical part of marriage is if and when she wants it. Yes, in the flesh, his love for her is dying, but his bitterness against her is flourishing because of her sinning against him. Notice I said in the flesh. He was becoming more and more bitter against his sinning wife. Just because she is sinning against him does not give him the right to sin against her by not loving her and by being bitter against her. He must respond towards his sinning wife in the Spirit. And what would that look like? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Oh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Two purposes. First, as a wife, I purpose to strive to fulfill my God-given roles so that I do not tempt my husband to respond in the flesh by loving me less and being more and more bitter towards me. As a husband, I purpose not to respond to my wife's sinful behavior in the flesh, but will in the Spirit seek to help her to be an overcomer. Now, what does that look like? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, well then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen man and a publican. Follow Matthew 18, where in the Spirit you go and you speak to your wife about how she is sinning against you and the steps that she can take to correct it. Follow 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24, 25, and 26, and go to her with gentleness, patience, meekness, when sharing how she has sinned against you. If after several attempts she continues to show no desire to change her sinful ways, then take with you others who have witnessed her sinful behavior, or take a spiritual leader who can use the Word of God to establish she is indeed sinning against you. Now, if she listens and repents, praise the Lord. But if she refuses to repent, then tell it to your church. Tell it to your church family. And if she refuses to repent, then the church family should stop fellowshipping with her. Listen to Paul's instructions to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, a railer, a drunkard, an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Whereas the church must have no company with your sinning wife, you're in a marriage covenant, for better or worse. You cannot put her out, but you can be a godly example to her, praying your behavior will move her to repentance, just like her godly behavior can bring you to repentance. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Just as God can use a wife's godly behavior to win her sinful husband, so can God use a husband's godly behavior to win his sinful wife. Do not seek to bring her to repentance out of a lack of faith, as evidenced by your spirit of pride and lust in seeking vengeance, by trying to manipulate her, by fighting with her or fleeing from her. I'm leaving you. I'm divorcing you. But by faith, follow the word of God. Deal with her in the spirit. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6. He says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," I want you to note that man, "and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Do you realize the church is to withdraw themselves from any brother or sister who will not repent of sin, even the sins of not working and being a busybody? How many Christian marriages could be saved if they would, by faith, practice the word of God when their mate is sinning against them? Husbands, continue to love your wife and be not bitter towards her by following the word of God. In this passage, Paul is exhorting the church at Thessalonica to withdraw themselves and have no company with a so-called brother who's lazy and a busybody. If your wife refuses to repent, your Christian family should have no fellowship with her that she might be ashamed. In my 44 years in the ministry, I have seen several so-called Christian couples divorce. In every one of those cases, none followed Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. None. Purpose. When my mate sins against me, I purpose to continue to love them and be not bitter against them by practicing biblical love. In the flesh, a husband may stop loving his wife and become bitter towards her when she is sinning against him. Now, the cure for bitterness is to deal with the sin of others biblically. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Now, watch. In the flesh, a husband may stop loving his wife and become bitter towards her because she may confront him about his sin. The two times we're most often tempted to get bitter is when we are suffering from a sinner or suffering for our sin. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11. How do you respond to your wife's biblical correction? Now notice I said biblical correction. Wives, you're to follow Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Do it with gentleness, patience, meekness. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. Imagine how you might respond if you were guilty of letting your eyes look on something they shouldn't, or being lazy around the house, or provoking the children to wrath, or failing to meet your wife's physical needs when she confronted you. Would you get better or would you get bitter? You shouldn't get angry, bitter. You should receive her correction in meekness. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it worketh not to righteousness of God. Wherefore, he says, lay apart, put off all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Stop deceiving yourself. Your wrath is not righteous in that you get angry and bitter, not because of the Lord's sake, but rather for your own sake. Your wife just corrected you and you don't like it. Most husbands can take correction from others, but struggle with receiving it from their wife. We want our wives to think we can walk on water. So when they correct us, we respond with pride and lust, and our love dies and our bitterness thrives. How should we respond when being reproved, especially by our wives? Well, we should put off, lay off our sin and put on, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Purpose. When reproving another, I purpose to use the word of God. And how can you tell you've received your wife's biblical reproof with meekness? Look at verse 22. You will be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You will do what she says. Meekness is that attitude and action of acknowledging and accepting God is ultimately in control of every situation, even unfair, unjust situations, and thus be willing to submit to others, knowing God will judge them in due time. Meek people do not seek vengeance by trying to manipulate others by blowing up or bottling up. Purpose. I purpose to receive with meekness reproof from others, especially my wife, when I have done wrong. But husbands, even if your wife doesn't follow biblical principles when correcting you and falsely accuses you, that doesn't give you the right to get bitter. You're still to respond towards her with meekness and fear. Listen, 1 Peter 3:14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify, set the Lord God apart in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that's within you, and do it with meekness and fear. If your wife wrongly, falsely accuses you, your response is to be happy and not fearful or troubled, while placing God first in your heart and life and answering your false accuser, your wife, with meekness and fear. Remember, the kissing cousins of meekness are gentleness and patience. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. Your fear towards your accuser is that you can have a good conscience before God and them. 1 Peter 3:16, this is what follows. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ has once offered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You are in good company if you can suffer for righteousness' sake. Purpose. I purpose to be alert to the fact that when being confronted for my sin, I may stop loving my accuser and turn bitter towards them. But instead, I purpose to seek to respond towards them like my Lord did towards his accusers, and that's with meekness. All of us can become bitter when others sin against us, or when we are confronted for sinning against others. But I want to mention one other situation where a husband may love his wife less and be more bitter towards her. Because of lust, a husband may stop loving his wife and become bitter towards her if she takes something from him or keeps him from getting something he wants. You're taking a long-needed nap, only to have your wife wake you to go and do something she needs to be done. You've been saving to buy, but your wife announced she needs your stash to purchase A. You're planning a golf match, for the weekend, but you cancel it because your wife. Now, in each of these situations, neither party was necessarily sinning, but something was taken from you or withheld from you that you wanted, and when you didn't get what you wanted, or you had something taken from you, you got angry, you got bitter towards your wife. Or maybe you're guilty of doing what I did as I was writing this chapter. My wife, who had experienced a small stroke some months earlier, just about this time last year. It was this time last year on Father's Day. Well, this was a little bit later. She wasn't feeling well, and she desired for me to stay home with her, thinking, well, maybe she was having another stroke. Well, my son and I, we'd made plans for indoor golf, and that would take me away from home for about 3 hours. Now, I reasoned, oh, she'll probably be asleep most of that time. So I went golfing. And I provoked her to anger and bitterness because of my selfishness. In Ephesians 5:25, we read, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The love we are to demonstrate towards our wives is that self-sacrificing love. Purpose? I purpose not to provoke another to bitterness by withholding or taking away something because of my selfishness. Purpose? I purpose not to be provoked to bitterness by someone who withholds or takes something I want because of my selfishness. Now, what are some of the things we learned about bitterness in this chapter? Let me summarize them quickly for you. We need to fulfill our God-given roles towards others so we do not provoke them to bitterness. This week, I guarantee every one of us in this room will commit that sin. But strive not to. We must not be provoked to bitterness when others do not fulfill their God-given roles. Guarantee you, most of us in this room will be guilty of that. We're going to get provoked when somebody doesn't fulfill their role towards us, their God-given role. We should fulfill our God-given roles, remembering we do them as unto the Lord. We should fulfill our God-given roles, remembering God's going to judge us. One cure for bitterness is for us to seek and set our affections on things above and not on things in the earth. A second cure for bitterness is for us to be putting off that old man, put on the new man. Third cure for bitterness is to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful. A fourth cure for bitterness is to let the word of God dwell in us and be thankful. One may stop loving and become bitter when one sins against them. One may stop loving and become bitter when they are reproved because of their sin. And one may stop loving and become bitter because of selfishness. Don't take my nap from me, but I want to go play. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Colossians chapter 3. Lord, we want to thank you that you do have a desire for us to be less and less bitter towards our wives, and more loving towards them. I pray that this next year, Lord, would see every husband represented here this morning loving their wives more and being less bitter towards them. Lord, we thank you for just revealing to us how bitterness can seep into our lives and even overtake our lives. Lord, having this warning, having these cautions, and now seeing the cures, Lord, may we take the medicine and take it cheerfully, that we will be victorious in loving our wives and being less bitter towards them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.